He comes to us as one unknown, without a name. As of old by the lakeside, he came to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow thou me, and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands. And to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
May we pray. Our gracious Father, this occasion rises in us the joy of being children in your household. The excellence of your care evoked from us a worthy pride and moves us to those rare moments of genuine humility. We know your patience. We acknowledge with sadness our exploitation of that patience. Your mercy has come as sunshine. Your anger is rain upon thirsty land. Amplify our feeble attempt to act as sons and daughters of your family. We pray that our guilt would not hinder your presence with us. As members of your house, we forever live in the eternal hope brought by Jesus as the Christ. Help us in these moments of contemplation to identify the old with the new. May our fellowship be spirit-filled. May our union reach beyond time and space. Open our eyes to see our comradeship with those before our age and with those who come after us. We are happy that we are of this body. We are sorry that we are sinners, but we are glad that you gather us as a people of a similar element. We pray that we might desire your grace to become effective in this place. Speak to us, our Father. Soothe our pain. Relax us in the noise of life. Show us the silliness of our quarrels. Create in us a new mind. Amen.
Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It may seem a bit early in the school year to talk about being heavily burdened. The passage that I've chosen for our meditation this morning may seem much more suited to examination time and to the grind that plagues us all in the spring. And yet, even though this school year is young, we are in our first week here together in this family of God. Is there any of us here this morning who is unaware that our world is in flame, that we are in the midst of a world revolution as well as community crisis? And can we ever in such an hour be entirely carefree or at ease in Zion? When Jesus first spoke these words, which we used for a text this morning, there is little doubt, of course, that he had in mind those who were laboring to do the works of the law, and who were so conscious of the burden which the scribes and the Pharisees had fastened on their backs by their meticulous handling of the law. The law had become a curse for so many. Yet we Christians, who know ourselves to be living under grace and not the law, still feel these words speak to us. We come back to them again and again. Perhaps this is so because there are still abroad in the land religious spokesmen who, failing to understand what grace means, cling to self-justifying works, and who would saddle any and all of their disciples with the dead weight of legalism. Or it may be because of our own neurotic compulsion, which drives us to feverish efforts to somehow justify ourselves before God, to placate his anger, to win a place in his favor. The explanation for the rather universal and timeless appeal of Jesus' invitation here may vary from person to person. There are so many reasons why this passage of Scripture appeals to us, but I think most of us here this morning would admit that we are conscious of some galling yoke, some tyranny, large or small, which menaces our freedom in Christ and our usefulness for him. It may be the burden of anxious fear about our futures, about the future of our world, about the future of the ministry, yea, about the future of the church. Or it could be the burden of a bad conscience, the realization that we have not preached the whole counsel of God, that we have been more like peddlers than prophets of the Holy Word of God. Or it may be the realization that we've served more like hirelings than shepherds, who flee when no man pursueth. It could be the burden of remorse, or all of us are like Paul here. The good that we would, we do not, and the evil we would not, that we do over and over again. For some here this morning, it may be the burden that plagues battle-scarred veterans of the cross, the burden of depressed spirits who realize how short-lived any victory is here on earth, who realize that time has flown, that the bright dreams of youth have not yet been realized, and who wonder now whether it has been worth the effort. For these, and I think many other reasons, the words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," ought to speak to our need this morning and remind us from whence cometh our help, and how he is prepared to give it. Our help is in him who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, one who has not wrestled with the demons of fear and doubt and temptation and fatigue and death itself has no right to make such an invitation. But if he has indeed fought the beast and conquered, If he indeed has come through doubt and fear and temptation and fatigue and death, then he does have every right to make such an invitation, however sketchy may be the earthly records of his life and ministry here on earth. And we know that scholars are not agreed on the scope of the Gospels. However sketchy the record may be, those who walked with Jesus in the flesh testify to Christus Victor, to Christ the Conqueror. So this morning it is the conquering Christ who comes to us saying, "Come, and I will give you rest." He comes not to enslave us again with more rigorous rules and taboos, to shackle us as the Israelites were shackled by the way their teachers interpreted the law. Surely we know this morning he has come that we might have life. He has come to set us free, to set the captives free. Now this freedom, if I understand it, is not that of the hippie who opts out of society, who is determined to rewrite the rules in his own image. This is not our freedom today. Rather, I think our freedom is that of the disciplined follower who knows who he is and whose he is and why he is, and has given himself voluntarily to his living Lord and Master. It is not a question this morning of whether to be yoked or unyoked. We have all been yoked by something or someone. The Master this morning offers to exchange the yoke of bondage and fear and doubt and self-distrust and weariness with the yoke of freedom, the freedom that a man has in Christ who has been made a new creation, who has the new being because the Master has come into him and supped with him. May our response this morning be the sincere desire to take his yoke upon us. He doesn't force it. He offers it. May our desire be this morning at the beginning of this school year to take again and afresh his yoke upon us, that we might learn from him. I know that the cry today is for a religionless Christianity, for worldly involvement. And those who believe themselves to be the salt of the earth can do no less than get involved in the world. Salt cannot cure, it cannot preserve unless it comes in contact. But how effective will his disciples be out in the world, up to their necks in social involvement, in worldly encounter? How effective will these disciples be who have not first taken his yoke upon them and learned from him? Surely our desire, as we come now to the table, is to reaffirm our love and our loyalty to him who is the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord and our Savior.